let's begin with our word here. The word that we have for today is just to be still. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to do, especially in the world that we have and the busyness that goes with it. We think of back in, if we were back in the 1800s, 1600s, 1400s, somewhere around there, it just seemed like life is just so much more simpler, less distractions and stuff. I'm not sure if it was any simpler. It was harder. I think there were times where people would really be able to, take time because, they didn't have the busyness, I would think. But life events were much more dramatic and stuff. You didn't have the medical stuff that we have today. We don't have the ability to be able to, forecast weather and stuff and prepare for that. But we still have the opportunity in which to be still. So I'm going to be looking at some scripture here today and going through, looking at that word where it says be still. And so I've got like four or five scripture verses that deal with that. And I want to talk about the events that were surrounded those times where the people are being told to be still by God. All right? So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father Almighty, we just thank you for your word. There's truth in your word. There's an absolute truth in that. And we're here to allow you to teach us what it means to be still, or to reflect on that part of it so that our lives can have a calmness in it that hasn't been there in a long time, maybe, or just to help us to respond so that we can be a better witness for those around us to see that there's our trust in you is phenomenal, and that as we go and experience tough times in our lives, that we have that groundedness within you, that we can be still. So Father, we just thank you, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit works on each and every one of us, that we hear what it is that you want us to hear. And I just thank you for your word, that we can share that today. This we pray through your Son Jesus. Amen. So we're going to begin in the story of Exodus, and there's a time right here in Exodus 14:4 where Moses tells the people, he says, "For the Lord will fight for you, you need only to be still." And he says this at a time where the Israelites are like unbelievably nervous that they're going to die. So what's been happening? Well, they have left Egypt. They've finally, all the 10 plagues are all done and all that stuff. Finally, the Egyptians said, "Get out of our town." They gave them all sorts of things when they left. And then, as they were going through the desert, the Egyptians are like, "Wait, what did we do? We just lost all of our slaves. We lost all of our workers. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get all those chariots that we've got. We've got a phenomenal army." And Pharaoh says, "Get that army, get all those chariots, all those men, and you are going to go out and get those Israelites and bring them back so that they can be put back into work." Well, you know what God says? He always has this plan. And God brings him to a place where there's absolutely no exit. He brings him along the shore of the Red Sea. And there's really no place to go left or right. And yet the people can see the army of Pharaoh coming to get them. They have no weapons. They're slaves. They have no tools to be able to fight back. That's not what they brought. They have absolutely nothing. And the people are crying out, "Is this a place that you brought us to so that we could be killed out in the deserts? It would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt and had been slaves." I mean, this is their nervousness about it. They want to survive. And they see no way out. And God tells Moses to tell the people, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Question is, would you be still? Would you find a way, a means in which to protect your family from the onslaught of the Egyptian army coming? Would you be planning for something and a nice escape route that you can get? Sacrifice those people, sacrifice those. We got to be the faster runner to be able to get away. I'm sure all those things would be going through my mind. And yet God says, be still. And then he says to Moses, what are you standing around for? Split the waters and allow the people to walk through that. He pretty much did say that. And it's like, and so the Moses, you know, raises his staff and then the waters split. The people walk through there. They found the escape route that God had given them because they had to trust God in all of this. And then when the Egyptian army started to come and follow them through that, they were nervous again. But again, it was like, God's got this. God will fight your battle. Obviously, the water came over the Egyptian chariots and the horsemen and the soldiers and stuff, and the army was completely obliterated. You know what those Hebrew people did when they were on the other side of that shore? They praised God. They were just jumping all over the place. And they just were like so exuberant that God literally saved them from the tightest situation that they've ever been in. And in that time, God says, be still. Let's look at another one here. And there's such a situation here in Nehemiah 8:11. It says, the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Now, what's the whole story with Nehemiah? Well, Nehemiah was held captive during the days of the Babylon captivity. And he was serving one of the Persian kings at this time as like a cupbearer. And his God has placed it on his heart that Jerusalem was just destroyed. And he had such a passion because of what the Lord had touched him and said, I need to go and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem that we can then come in and start to worship the Lord the way God intended us to worship the Lord. Remember, when they were held in captivity for 70 years, the idea is that God said to the Israelites, because they had fallen so far away from worshiping God, that they said, then, after the 70 years, they will come to know me. And that's the purpose, right? God, he can separate things, but the idea is, are you willing to know God? So we want to look at the situation with Nehemiah. He gets the rights to be able to build the wall, and the Israelites gather together to start rebuilding the gates, and they're doing all of those things. There's a lot of opposition too. There's other nations that are getting really upset about this sort of thing, and they're willing to attack the Israelites. So as they're building this wall, not only they have people, you know, putting mortar in between the rocks and stuff, they have people standing behind with swords and arrows to protect those workers. And you're thinking about this aspect over here, about be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. But this is not what they're grieving about. Let me tell you the story about what they're grieving. Jeremiah and one of the prophets that was there decided that they were going to start to read the book. You know what book I'm talking about? The book of Moses. To the people. And as they were reading this, like an all-day event or two-day event, I can't remember how long it was now, the people began to grieve because they realized how sinful they had been. Not only them, but their fathers and their families before. And all of what went through in the fact that Jerusalem was destroyed because of the actions of their people. And they are humbled before God in such a state that they are grieving their personal lives and that poor relationship that has been with God. And it's these Levites that, you know, the ones that are leading the people. And he's telling them, just real basically, that you need to be still because this is a holy day. It's God's day. And as they're reading this, you know what they end up doing? They end up making a commitment to the Lord that they're not going to follow the ways of their forefathers, the Asherah poles, the Baal worship, you know, even the sacrificing of their children to Moloch or any of the other false gods that are out there. They make a commitment that they're going to serve the Lord, and they start doing some of the ordinances that are within the scripture readings that was being read by the prophets. And they started doing the celebrations that haven't been done for years. You see, that's what they were grieving. How they grieved God. And the people are being told by God to be still. Don't let that past worry you. What's important is now. Take time to be with God. Be still in your walk, regardless of what your family has done, regardless of what you have done to get you to a place of total destruction, total chaos, like the walls of Jerusalem and what that's set up like. God says, be still in that. We're going to now look at Psalm 37, 7. And it says here, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You know, we know this world. We know this world is full of greed. We know this world is full of the pride of man. And yet we are, as Christians, supposed to be humble before the Lord, and that we're supposed to be a servant of the Lord, that we're supposed to, you know, share in the gospel. We're supposed to be, you know, a Christ-like individual. Well, when a Christ-like individual goes up against the world, you know what the world wants to do? The very same thing they did to Christ. Crucify Him. Why? It's not because of us. But it's because of the rebellion against Christ. But it's Christ in us that they see. And so in this psalm, it's talking about how the evil people just seem to prosper all the time. And the righteous ones are the ones that aren't getting anywhere. You know, they probably don't have the fancy boats. I'm just talking, in terms of materialistic things. But there seems to be, you know, from a worldly perspective, sometimes Christians, we don't put the value on things as what worldly people do. And worldly people will spend time, sacrifice lots of things like family relationships to be able to get ahead in their job, to be able to get a higher retirement, to get, a recognition for the things that they're doing. But as a Christian, you know, we're looking to serve the Lord, that He is glorified. And that doesn't put us forward. But when we look at other people that seem to live a stronger and a healthier or a more prosperous life, sometimes we get anxious about that. Why can't we have that sort of stuff? But you know what God says? Be still. That's not what's important. What's important is your relationship with God. And He says this very thing, that there's going to be people around you that's going to seem like they're prosperous, like they're benefiting and stuff. But their end will come. When they stand before God, will they know who God is? Will they recognize and give Him the credit for what Christ has done on the cross for our sins? Will they humble themselves and call God Lord? And if they haven't done that all of their lives, why would they feel like they need God? You see, God is saying, don't worry. Though the righteous barely live, you will live forever. And you're going to be in a place sometime soon where God reigns fully. And that'll be an awesome sort of thing. We get to another scripture in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13. He says, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because He has roused Himself from His holy dwelling. This is the time, if you read about Zechariah and all of the readings that he has, it's all about the coming of the Lord. There's going to be a day where Christ comes back. And it's going to be a glorious day, but it's going to be a scary day, really, for those that don't know God. And so as we're going through an uncertainty in our life, what Zechariah is saying through the Lord, be still, God reigns. No matter what is going on, and there seems to be political upheaval, there seems to be wars around, there seems to be devastation, God reigns. And He is coming. We don't know the day, but as that scripture that I read earlier in Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 28, it's going to come a time, you know, when men will prophesy and their sons will prophesy, the dreams will be coming, the Spirit of the Lord will be passed out on all of us. Guess what? Yeah. Those things have come to fruition and there's still more to come and everything. So be still and wait on the Lord. It's all through Scripture. People going through tough times. And like I said, I know we go through those tough times. And I was talking with the kids. I did a great job, really, with that Simon Says. I really thought some of them were tripping them up. But Lucy says, we're too smart for that. Or no, Aiden said that, but she said, you know, we know that. And it's like, that's true. The simplicity of the voice of a child is unbelievable sometimes for us. They knew what had to be done and everything. Let's look at this next one in Psalm 46:10, and it goes along with the song that we sang too. It says, He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is supreme and that God is God? He says who He is. Then what fear do we have? Because if we're on the side of God, who can be against us? That if there's devastation that comes through us and we have God, He will carry us through those things. We have to put our trust into Him. It's just that important to be able to do that and to know that as He is telling us, you know, to be still, that there's a response in our hearts that says, okay, God, You got this. You know what that does? It removes all of the anxiety in my heart. It removes all of the suffering that I feel like I'm having right now. It removes those bad thoughts that just keep reoccurring, taking me down those little rabbit holes that are pretty dark and dirty and nasty down in those areas. Why? Because God says, be still, because I am God. I like that. And there's times that we need to be reminded to be still. Reminded not to get so anxious about the things. New Testament scripture says, do not worry, right? And just worry about, or just, you know, be concerned about the things that happen today. Don't worry about the future. You know, if God can take care of the sparrows and dress the flowers the way He does that, don't you think God can take care of you and your problems? And we make plenty of them. But beside those problems that we make, and even the ones that come about us, even without our finagling and stuff with, you know, with life and stuff like that, God loves you so much that He wants to be with you. He wants to be your God, and He wants us to be His people. Really, it's the whole thing that kind of comes along. The last scripture verse that I have is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I put this scripture verse in here because if we don't trust God, if we can't be still in His presence, that we can't be still in the sense of knowing Him and who He is and how He works in our lives, then how can we possibly have the peace and the joy that this scripture here comes and says that we can have? But we have to put our trust in God. Not in your not-so-famous pastor. Not so much in a person that you think is a very godly person. Or in some television evangelist, you know, that has the power of the, you know, the vocals and the word and the God's movement and stuff like that. Don't put your trust in them. Put your trust in God that moves people. Be still. God will provide. Maybe not from the person that you thought. That's why I really love that story about Paula in Alaska. Because she was a godsend. You know, we had no way to get the lumber. We had called Lowe's and they said, yeah, we can bring it tomorrow. And then they called back and said, oh, it won't be till next week. And I'm like, we're gone. You know? And we said, well, we'll just order this stuff. Even they couldn't even get the stuff together so that we could pick it up. Ryan and I had to go pick it up and stuff. It all worked out. It was just, but because of what Paula did, it was just such a blessing. And it was just, and that's just the way that girl is. She does that. We're talking with her kids, and she says, yep, that's Paula, all right. I even offered her money for the gas and stuff. And you know what she said? No. She said, just pay it forward. Right? Isn't that the Christian thing that we should be doing? It was just really, really, really neat. So I'd like to meet up with her when we go back again. This whole idea is that when we are still and we trust God, then the Holy Spirit can really work on us. That He can move us and give us the joy, and we can appreciate the joy. We can appreciate the peace that He gives us. And when we do that, it's a reflection of God in us, so that when we meet other people and they know we're going through a big turmoil, and yet we have a joy in our hearts, how is that possible? Well, that gives you that little door that opens up and say, because I have Christ in my heart, I have His joy, His peace. And I can be still, even though it's terrible around me. What a witness that is to those around us that do not know the joy and the peace that God can give us. See, that's that overflowing part, is that God doesn't just give us joy and peace so that we can feel comfortable. It's that we can share that with others around us as we're going through tough times. Or not going through tough times, but they're going through a tough time. And if you've gone through a tough time, what a witness it would be for you to be able to say, I've been there. I did that. And you know what got me through? And they're thinking, surgeons, a new medicine, or, you know, it's like they're eating the right foods and stuff like that. And he said, no. It's because the Lord was with me. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. And He was with me the whole time. And I was able to be still through that event. That's powerful. And that's what God wants us to be able to do. Trust Him like that. To be able to be with Him. And then we can experience Him the way He wants us to experience Him. Amen? Lord, we just thank You for Your word here today. We just thank You for being here and to be able to experience this whole service, the prayer requests, the praises that we've got, the songs that we've got. It's all about You, Lord. And when we take our eyes off of ourselves or as other individuals and we put our eyes on Jesus, then it's okay. We can be still. We can have the peace and joy that God gives us. And we can share that with others in a loving way. We thank You, Lord, for all of this. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.